seen honor, strength, and power. Yours alone now and forever. A love this world could never stop. There is no one like our God. Reaching down to touch the broken. Mercy breaking through this moment. Faithful is the one who saves. Worthy is your name. Oh God, the glory is yours. The kingdom is come and the battle is over. Jesus, in your name. And wonder on that day when time is over. Every heart at last proclaimed, worthy is your name. Oh God, the glory is yours. The kingdom is come and the battle is over. Jesus, in your name we rise, and the glory is yours. Glory is yours.
Praise the Lord, church. It is so great to be here in the house of the Lord on this beautiful, beautiful Sunday morning. You may look outside and think it's not so beautiful, but if you go, bishops always told us it's not about It's more about altitude or attitude, right? So the sun's shining. It just hasn't broken through the clouds. So it's so great to have Brother and Sister Mackie with us today. And we look forward to this every year, and we'll give a little bit more of a detailed introduction in our 11 o'clock service. But he's going to be speaking to us here in our Bible class this morning. One of the absolute best Bible teachers in all of the universe, Brother Jonathan Mackie. Why don't you come and preach to us, teach to us this morning. God bless you. And you could go ahead and, I guess, be seated. So,
thank you, Pastor Grant. Praise the Lord, everybody. Good to see you in the house of the Lord this morning. And I want the word of the Lord to speak to you today. Man does not live by Cracker Barrel biscuits alone, but by everything that proceeds from the mouth of God. And I think I recognize some of you, even with your masks on, but it's good to see faithful saints of the Lord here today. And I love my relationship with Calvary Gospel Church and Bishop Grant and now Pastor Roy Grant and his wife. And Benjamin Franklin, I think one time said, if a man has three friends when he is old, he's a rich man. So I feel like a rich man today. Okay, let's stand up one more time and read the word of the Lord. Let's turn to Psalm 1 in our Bibles, to Psalm 1. Psalm 1 and verse 1. Psalm 1 and verse 1. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Let's pray, shall we? In the name of Jesus, God, we ask that you would help us to minister your word. And God, help us to receive it. Let it strengthen, edify, encourage, and challenge for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. And you may be seated this morning. I'm very thankful for the wonderful truth that we preach, believe, and obey in this church. On the day of Pentecost, when they said, what shall we do? Peter instructed them to repent, to be baptized by immersion in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and that they would receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. If it was the truth in the book of Acts chapter 2, it is still the truth in 2021, and it will still be the truth in 2022 if Jesus tarries. But when someone repents and is baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, that is not the climax of your experience with God. In all reality, you have just now been born again. As a pastor and assistant for 10 years, and now I'm in my 48th year as a full-time evangelist, I have, in my meetings, I've seen people come to the altar and they pray and seek and hunger for the Holy Ghost, and they yield and God fills them and they speak with other tongues. And then the next service in church, they don't even come to the altar. They just stand back there. Well, I've arrived now. I've spoken with other tongues. But you have not arrived. You have just now been born of water and of spirit. But from that moment, you go one of two directions with God. You either begin to go and grow in God, reach a potential in God, become fruitful with God, or else you digress, regress, always remain natural, always remain fleshly, and never reach the place where God wants you to reach. But in Psalm 1, David saw a progression for the child of God. Blessed is the man. The word blessed literally means happy, is the man that does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He does not stand in the way of sinners, and he does not sit in the seat of the scornful. Because I pastored individuals that after they repented and were baptized in Jesus' name, there were still tendencies in them to walk in the counsel of the ungodly. And I want you to know the reason that we have this precious book is that this book is a lamp unto my feet and it's a light unto my pathway. And the Word of God really is the most wonderful book because even tongues are going to cease. But, amen, the Word of the Lord shall never pass away. So that's why God gives you spiritual leadership. That's why God gives you this precious book. Because there's such a contrast between the counsel of the godly and the counsel of the ungodly. That's why this world is so messed up right now. We're living in a day where they are calling light darkness and darkness light, evil good and good evil. Thank God for the Word of the Lord. Thank God for spiritual leadership that really believes what the Word of God says. Because an individual that walks in the counsel of the ungodly, it's not too long in the progression where he's standing in the way of sinners. And his closest friends and associates are individuals that are not washed in the blood of the Lamb or filled with the Holy Ghost, but they're individuals that have never been filled with the Holy Ghost or have not been baptized in the precious name of Jesus Christ. And so now they are standing in the way of sinners, congregating with the unrighteous, and that's where they feel at home. And it's not too long then till they sit in the seat of the scornful. I know many individuals this morning in my years as a Christian, they used to love Pentecostal worship. They used to love Pentecostal preaching. They loved conviction. They loved the altar. They loved everything that had to do with godliness. But now they come to church, but now they sit in the seat of the scornful. They scorn the worship. They scorn the preaching. They scorn the altar. They scorn the touch of God. Amen. But that did not happen overnight. It began when they begin to walk in the counsel of the ungodly, and then they are standing in the way of sinners, and now they sit in the seat of the scornful. But happy is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Amen. To say, I want to do what the Word of God tells me to do and live like it tells me to live. Amen. And I need spiritual leadership, amen, and authority in my life. Don't ever stand in the way of sinners. Your closest friends should be individuals that are washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. And filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. Because I just know in my experience, birds of a feather flock together. Folks, worldly people have worldly friends, carnal people have carnal friends, and spiritual people have spiritual friends. Amen. And God help me to never sit in the seat of the scornful. Don't ever scorn preaching. Don't ever scorn conviction. Don't ever scorn, amen, the touch of the Lord. Don't ever scorn the altar. But be thankful every time God convicts you and leads you and guides you. Hallelujah. Amen. Because you are precious to God. Now, the middle of the road is a poor place to drive, actually. You know, to have two tires on this side of the center line and two tires on this side of the center line. I mean, that's a dangerous place to be, you know. And I've seen people that come in and get saved and they still try to keep one foot in the world and one foot in the church. But the world and the church are going in opposite directions. So you keep this foot in the church and this foot in the world and that foot in the church and this foot in the world and that foot in the church and this foot in the world. No wonder I'm not happy. I got pain shooting up my legs. So when I see a Christian that's unhappy, I have three questions. Where is he walking? Where is he standing? And where is he sitting? Happy is the man. He does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He does not stand in the way of sinners. He does not sit in the seat of the scornful. You just don't need to understand original Greek in this scripture. You know, it's kind of simple. Verse 2, but his delight, one translation says it literally, what gets him excited is an 8-point buck. is a 9-pound bass. Is a George Washington rocker in the antique store? No. His delight, what gets him excited, is the law of the Lord. This book gets him excited. And in his law, does he meditate? Does he think upon it? Does he apply it to his life? Every Wednesday and every Sunday. And especially the 4th of July when he's at camp meeting. No. What gets him excited is the law of the Lord. And in his law, he meditates every day and every night. I'm convinced in my travels there are some apostolics that the only time they open up their Bible is when they come to church. I remember preaching down in Texas, and I was turning to some scripture, and I heard a lady in the back, and way in the back said, I wish he would give us the page number, you know? No. Listen, folks, I love the Word of God. There are sometimes God just opens something up to me and I see something in the Word I've never seen before. Folks, sometimes I get in the pulpit and it seems like the Word of God is just like a stick of dynamite in my stomach and I just can't wait to tell people, amen, what God has shown to me. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates on it day and night. Verse 3, and he shall be. Who shall be? The man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He does not stand in the way of sinners. He does not sit in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. This man, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Now, according to the scripture, there are no shortcuts to victory. There are no ski lifts to spirituality. I mean, God is no respecter of persons. You know, two people get the Holy Ghost the same night. One is still victorious and one is not. God did not determine that. You determine your own spiritual destiny with God. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. David knew the secret of a consistent, constant, growing, productive, fruitful Christian life. Now, there are trees that grow in the tundra region of Siberia, Russia. The average temperature year around is about 42 degrees. And the trees that grow there only grow to about 4 feet tall. They are gray, gnarled, ugly, stubby, and they never produce any fruit because the conditions in which they are planted are not conducive to growth. I want you to know, folks, that you plant yourself wherever you need to be planted. If you have a garden, you know, you plant the tomatoes in this row, you plant the cucumbers in this row, and so that's the way it needs to be spiritually, folks, because this is a man like a tree planted by the rivers of water. I remember going across the Golden Gate Bridge in San Francisco to the Muir Woods, and I saw the redwood forest, and I saw these beautiful redwoods and sequoia trees. And I remember walking through that forest where these trees are tall, straight, flourishing, and productive. And I remember standing right there, and I said, I want my relationship with God. I want my spirituality to be just like this. Tall, straight, flourishing, strong, and productive. Because people are not spiritual by accident. It's because they've planted themselves in conditions that are conducive to growth. Now John the Baptist came preaching. And his message was a message of repentance when he said, the axe is laid at the root of the tree. Now, he was not talking to trees, but he was talking to people, talking to men. But he was saying, folks, that repentance is a severance and a separation in your life. There's more to repentance than ashes on your forehead and filling out a membership card and shaking a preacher's hand. Repentance is a change of direction. You turn your back on disobedience and you turn your whole life toward obedience. So your salvation experience, you are totally severed and uprooted, all right, from the ungodly, amen, from the disobedient. Now let's look at the book of Colossians chapter 2, Colossians chapter 2 and verse 7. The book of Colossians chapter 2 and verse 7. It's on page 1553 in my Bible. All right. But anyway. All right. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 7. It says, we need to be rooted and built up in him, which is Jesus Christ, established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So, when you truly repent and you have this wonderful conversion experience, you are uprooted from the ungodly and rooted in the godly. Uprooted from the earthly, rooted in the heavenly. Uprooted from the natural and rooted in the spiritual. God wants you to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Now, in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus gives the parable of the sower, and in Matthew chapter 13, in verse 4, it says, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, the birds came up and devoured them. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they have no deepness of earth. And verse 6, and when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And then some seed fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. Verse 8, but other seed fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. And who hath ears to hear, let him hear. So it's saying, who hath ears to hear, let him listen. Because you parents that have little children, you're talking to your youngster, and you say, do you hear your mother? But then you say, are you listening? So it's important to hear the word of God, because I'm trying to look at most of you from this pulpit. You've all got ears. So if you've got ears, you must listen. Listen. Because the field is the world, and the soil is like the hearts of individuals. Some individuals come in here, and their hearts are wayside ground. The word, the seed, never penetrates their heart. But other individuals come in here, repent, baptize, fill with the Holy Ghost, and they live for God a little while, you know, and they're doing okay until the sun comes and the heat comes, and then they wither. And then other people come in, they repent, they are baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost, you know, but they come to church a couple times a month, you know, but they never produce any fruit. But other individuals come in, repent, they are baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost, and they bring forth fruit, some 100-fold, 60-fold, and some 30-fold. But the individuals that come in and they live for God as long as everything is going their way, and you know, and it's very pleasant. But when the test comes and the heat comes, amen, and they wither, the reason they wither is because they have no root. Root. Because I've talked to many individuals that aren't faithful to God anymore. Why are you coming to church? Well, the piano player did this. The preacher's kid did that. You know, and the choir director did this. Listen, if anyone in this building ever withers in your relationship with God, the problem is not external. The problem is internal. People wither because they have no root. Other people, they just come to church, and the Bible says the thorns of the cares of this life and the riches of this world, and they're much more concerned about temporal issues than eternal values. But thank God, every now and again, someone comes in here, they repent, they are baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost, and they bring forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. And that's why we need to take inventory. What type of soil am I? Am I hard? All right? Am I withering? Am I choked? Or am I productive? But it's the will of God that you be rooted and built up in Jesus Christ. Now, roots are important. Roots anchor the plant to the ground. It's to the roots that minerals and nutrients are dissolved into the plant system, and it grows and it produces fruit. And I know it's wintertime now. All the farmer markets are over. But you go to a farmer's market and they say, oh, what magnificent tomatoes. Oh, what beautiful strawberries. Oh, what fantastic fruit. But we never say, oh, what beautiful roots. What magnificent roots. But you know what? There would be no fruit if there was not roots. You know how roots are important. I mean, roots are vital. Now, I read where they take a little sprig of a palm tree over in Lebanon, and it's about 18 inches high, 22 feet high, and they plant it, and then they put a great big rock on top of it, and they just bend it over to the ground. And for the next 6 weeks, all they do is water the rock, water the rock, water the rock, water the rock, because they don't want the tree to grow up until it gets a source of strength and a source of nourishment. And its roots go deeper, deeper, deeper. And then after 6 weeks, they take the rock off. They take that little sprig of a palm tree. They tie it to a stick, and it grows, and it never dies. Now, it's important after you repent of your sins and are baptized in Jesus' name and receive the Holy Ghost to come to this altar time and time again. Put yourself under the rock, Christ Jesus, and let the roots go down, 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 where now you are truly rooted and built up in Jesus Christ. And you have a source of nourishment in your life, a source of nourishment in your life. So, yes, you must repent of your sins. You must be baptized in Jesus' name. You must receive the Holy Ghost. But you need to do one more thing. You need to get rooted and built up in Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ. I remember reading about Palm Canyon out in California. Because every spring, the trees would just flourish. And all the bluebirds would come back and nest there. But there was one of these dry falls, and the forest fire came through Palm Canyon, and people were just shocked because all the trees were charred and burned. And then the winter snows came, and it made it look even more desolate because the trees were blackened by the fire, and now the snow was so white. And they said, the trees are going to die, and the bluebirds will never be back again. But boy, the spring sun comes, and the snow melts, and people could not believe it because, amen, the trees did not die. The bluebirds always came back because the fire burned what was external, but the fire could not burn what was internal. It could not get down to the roots. So therefore, you need something, hallelujah, that goes deeper than the external. You really need something in the depths of your heart and your soul and your life, to be rooted and built up in Jesus Christ. Now, some people get rooted to a church building. Boy, I like coming to Calvary Gospel. The pews are comfortable. The back is just at the right angle so you don't get a backache. You know, they keep the heat nice. It's not too hot. It's not too cold. I mean, I like that building. And other people get rooted to the church family. I just love the people at Calvary Gospel Church. They are so nice. If you need a babysitter, they help you. If you have a flat tire, they help you change it. I mean, they are just so kind and nice. But you got to stick around a while. We are not all nice all the time. But most of us are nice most of the time. All right? And then some people get rooted to a personality in the pulpit. Boy, I like that Pastor Roy. Man, with his silver hair, he could run for senator or something, you know? I mean, really. I mean, he's just so, I mean, he's calm and collected up here, and, oh, man. But do you know what? You're not going to make it if all you see is the building and all you are aware of is the family or the personality in the pulpit, because you need to be rooted and built up in Jesus Christ. So you need to see above the pew and above the pulpit. You need to see him. And that's where your strength comes from. Yes, because, you know, sometimes you come to church and maybe, you know, the worship songs are just a little bit off key. And sometimes, you know, the pastor just doesn't really hit a home run. I remember preaching in Nashville, Tennessee, right after the Tennessee camp meeting. The Tennessee camp meeting ended Friday night, and I'm preaching for Brother Beckton Sunday morning, and boy, that song leader was excited. I mean, people are always excited after camp meeting. I mean, some people can shake their leg, woo, at camp meeting, and don't shake it again till the next year. So they're all revved up, and boy, that song leader, and he stopped and looked at me. He said, I want Brother Mackey to hit a home run today. I'm thinking, oh, man. Do you know how hard it is to hit a home run every time you're at bat? So I got to the pulpit and I said, you folks, a sacrifice fly can win a ball game. I said, a bunt can win a ball game. A balk, where the pitcher takes his foot off that piece of rubber and the man from third base can score. So if you think it's easy for this man to hit a home run every time he's in this pulpit, he needs to sit out there for a month and you come up here and do it. Right? But no. But yes, thank God for buildings. Thank God for the church family. Thank God for a good pastor. But we need to be rooted and built up in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Now let's turn to Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 8. Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 8. Jeremiah 17, verse 7, actually. It's page 985 in my Bible, all right? All right. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 7. Blessed is the man who trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted. It's there deliberately, not by chance. Planted by the waters that spreadeth out her roots. Yeah, roots everywhere by the river, shall not see when he cometh. Her leaf shall be green, shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. If I ever read a description of positive, growing Christianity, it's Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 8. Planted by the waters, roots spread out all over the place. Doesn't see when heat comes. You mean there's some heat? You mean there's some pressure? It's not bothering me. Her leaf is green. Everyone else's leaves are green and are turning brown and dry and curled up. Not mine. I have my own set of roots. All right. And then it says, you know, it's not careful in the year of drought. And neither shall cease from yielding fruit. This is the will of God for every man and woman in this church. But the key is to be rooted and built up in Jesus Christ. Let's look at Psalm 92. Psalm 92 and verse 12. Psalm 92 and verse 12. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. The righteous, not the worldly, not the carnal, not the backslidden, not the cold. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree. He shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. One of the hardest trees in the world to cut down is the palm tree, and the fastest growing tree in the world is the cedar of Lebanon. It should be hard to knock a Christian down. And it's the will of God that Christians grow. I like verse 13. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish right in the courts of our God. That is why your faithfulness to the house of God is part of you getting your roots a little bit deeper. Do you know what? You can come to this church and God will tell you things right here in this sanctuary you will never hear anyplace else. All right? Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish right in the courts of our God. No, there was a time in my ministry, my revivals would go 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks. But now, you know, a revival is, you know, Sunday morning, sometimes just Sunday night. You know, but if Pastor Roy Grant comes up here and says, folks, I mean, after all this COVID stuff, I mean, we're just going to have a revival. We're going to go. I mean, we're going to go 2 weeks. We're going to go Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, give you Monday off, go Tuesday. And you say, oh, but Brother Roy, I mean, I got to clean my guns for deer hunting season. And I got to do the laundry. And I got to can my fruit. And I got so much to do. But no, you ought to say, thank you, Brother Grant. You mean I get to go to church a few extra times the next few weeks? I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than dwell in the tents of wickedness. And one day in the courts of the Lord is better than 1,000 days. I was glad when they said unto me. Let's clap our hands for the house of the Lord today, shall we? Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Verse 14, they shall still bring forth fruit in old age. Now, I'm going to be 78 years old. There was a time when I thought 78 was old age. But not now. Okay. So I don't know what old age is. All right. Someone said old age is 15 years older than what you are. So I won't be old until I'm 93. All right, but even in old age, they're going to bring forth fruit. I don't know. There are no Holy Ghost rest homes, no spiritual rocking chairs. Even in old age, and it says, they shall be fat and flourishing. Boy, oh boy. You know, three times the psalmist uses the word flourish. Every businessman in Madison wants to have a flourishing business. God wants to have a flourishing church. But the church is not this building. You are the church of the living God. And when we flourish individually, the church is going to flourish collectively. Even in old age, they're going to bring forth fruit. They shall be fat and flourishing. Fat, spiritually healthy. Spiritually healthy. You know, you've seen pictures of Bangladesh and these little kids, skinny arms, bloated tummies, nothing to eat. They're so skinny they can't even walk. And it's so sad to look at that. But have you ever seen a skinny Christian? You know, he's dressed in his nice suit and shirt and tie. But spiritually, he's skinny. He could barely walk with God. Oh, it's so hard living for God. Please pray for me. I don't know if I'm going to make it anymore. Oh, folks. No. And boy, when the skinny Christian comes to church, he can only clap his hands for one song, and then he's tired. Then he's got to use the other hand to hold his hand up. You know. And the skinny Christian cannot handle good Bible teaching or preaching. Instead of saying amen, he goes, ouch, ooh. I don't like Brother Mackey, you know, and the skinny Christian, when he comes to the altar, his knees crack because he hasn't bent his knees in so long, and he prays 4 minutes and 13 seconds, you know, and when he's at the altar, this is his prayer. Oh, bless me, God. Touch me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Me. And he prays 4 minutes and 13 seconds, and he has to sleep in the next morning because going to church has wore him out. But the fat Christian, they've worked all day. Yeah, but when they come to church, the strength they have left, they're going to worship God. They're going to clap their hands. Amen. They're going to raise their hands. Amen. And the fat Christian loves preaching. Preach to me, Brother Grant. Preach to me, evangelist. They want to say ouch, but they say amen. Oh, yeah, that is so good. Amen. And the fat Christian loves the altar because you don't get deeper roots standing in the vestibule talking to friends. They get deeper roots right at this altar. Amen. Just getting your roots deeper in God. So if it's hard for you to witness, you need deeper roots. If you have no desire for a deeper relationship with God, you need deeper roots. And hey, everybody, we are living in a day where everything that can be shaken is being shaken. Folks, I mean, it's amazing the storms that are going on out there and the things I hear in my travels. But I want everyone here to know you can live for God anytime, anywhere, in any circumstance when you have roots in Jesus Christ. You need roots that go deeper than the bitterness, roots that go deeper than the trial, roots that go deeper than the unanswered prayer, roots that go deeper than rebellion. So no matter what happens, when the storm is all over, I'm still going to have my integrity with God, and I'm going to be living for Him. Happy is the man. He does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. He does not stand in the way of sinners. He does not sit in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And one more scripture. Isaiah chapter 37 and verse 31. Isaiah chapter 37 and verse 31. Isaiah 37 and verse 31. It says, and the remnant that is escaped of the house of Judah shall again, let's all say again, again take root downward and bear fruit upward. Because no roots, no fruit. You know, when you take an apple tree and plant it in the right location, the apple tree doesn't have a nervous breakdown. Oh, I hope I grow. I hope I have apples and not peaches. Oh, I hope. No. In our relationship with God, if we plant ourselves in the right place, we don't have to say, oh, I hope I live for God. Oh, I hope I'm victorious. I hope I resist temptation. Oh, I hope. No, folks, plant yourself in the right place and you will be victorious. You will live for God. You will be fruitful. Amen. Because you shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth your fruit in your season. Because your fruit is not my fruit. My fruit is not your fruit. I don't have time to talk about fruits because you know people by their fruit. But there's roots, roots. Boy, isn't it exciting to talk about roots? Those things you never see, but you know they're there. Because of the fruit. Let's stand and let's clap our hands for victory, shall we? Hallelujah, hallelujah. I shall not be moved in the name of Jesus.
Praise the Lord again, church. That was an awesome, awesome, powerful word this morning. Thank you, Brother Mackey. What have we been talking about the last few weeks? This is just, I'm going to add this to that series, okay? Can I do that? We've been talking about better, healthier spiritual growth. And this just sums it all up. Thank you so very much, Brother Mackey. So let's just pray here. And then we'll be taking a 15-minute break. So remember, if you have children in the children's wing, if you checked children in, okay? Just a little hint, if you check them in, now is the time to check them out, okay? So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your many blessings. I thank you, Lord, for this powerful, powerful word that was presented to us today. Lord, this is words to live by, live life by. Lord, our root system is so critical, so crucial in our walk with God. And Lord, I thank you for this word. That it will not become void in my life, in our lives. Lord, we pray, Lord, that your hand would be upon each and every one of our guests that are here, each and every one of our members. We would apply this. Lord, this means nothing unless we apply it to our lives. And Lord, help us to apply these principles that we've learned this morning to our lives. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. We will be back at 11 o'clock, so take a few minutes, meet and greet, and we will be back shortly. God bless.